Yeah, well, some people think of it as akin to an etude, and some people think of it as, really conjuring up something more of like a fantasy. And, it really definitely has roots in both interpretations. It's a little bit of a, exercise piece, but it's also just a free exploration of, when you think of capriciousness. There's a lot of room for individuality in a piece like a caprice, and so you really want to, do something fantastical and have it just be a little miniature gem. And it's amazing the variety of what Paganini captured. Sometimes he has, a rondo form one like number 9, theme and variations like number 24, some of these that are built like sandwiches, 13 and 20 and 22, where you have, outer sections with very contrasting middle sections. There's just so many different moods and so many different affects that he uses, sometimes more lighthearted and playful, sometimes, very full of angst, sometimes, this very expressive, aria kind of playing. Sometimes very mysterious. So there's never a dull moment, and it's just incredible to think that each one has its own distinct personality. Paganini was, a very larger than life figure from 200 years ago who dressed all in black and had long hair and lots of female fans, and so he had, and he was known for his gambling excesses, and of course his virtuosity was, he took the violin farther than it had ever been taken before, and people said that maybe he sold his soul for his amazing technique. And so, he had that charisma and that bad boy personality, but he was definitely more complex than the caricature. He also was a very generous colleague and a devoted single father, and so it's not just all this, kind of wild, 80s hairband kind of guy. But what's interesting is Paganini didn't actually do everything possible in the caprices. He came close, but he left off a couple of key elements. He has a little bit of left-hand pizzicato, plucking the string with the fingering hand in one of his variations of the 24th caprice, but he does something really extraordinary with a couple of his other works where you're plucking the string with the fingering hand while simultaneously bowing a melody. And so I included a couple of his other unaccompanied works that do utilize that technique as sort of extras on this album. And I think that gives you even a broader picture of Paganini's writing for violin alone. That in and of itself is a very interesting genre because we think of something like the piano or the guitar as being able to have multiple voice writing and standing on its own 2 feet. But the violin usually is heard with other instruments playing along, whether it's a piano accompanist or a whole orchestra or as part of a chamber ensemble. But for violin alone, to be able to even sustain the interest with our four little strings, I think it's quite an accomplishment for any composer.